our parents as immigrants told us, you know, go out there and get a job that's stable and that's it, because I brought you to this country to have a decent life, and for you to be risking it and doing something like this is like unheard of almost. So now that we're kind of like shifting that story and showing and having more successful stories, I think the kids that are coming after us might see it as more of a possibility for sure. And I think we have to kind of break those stereotypes or those barriers of what the media says about us or what other people think or even what our parents think, because then we're just kind of putting ourselves in a box and not really being able to explore whatever it is that we might want to do, which wouldn't necessarily be the 9-to-5 that most people think of when they just think like career or their job.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast with the goal to help to demystify tech. The way we do that is by interviewing Latinx leaders all over the world to hear their perspective and insights. Today, we are talking with Carolina Acosta. Carolina is a Latina entrepreneur from Queens, New York, with a background in graphic design. She has a Bachelor of Fine Arts from Parsons School of Design. Carolina launched a game dedicated to Latinos, and she's making history in the process since the game industry is white, cisgender, male-dominated, and often overlooks people of color and women. I'm really excited about this conversation. Welcome, Carolina.
Oh, thank you, Thaisa. It's amazing being here. I'm excited to talk to you today about Tragos and I guess the journey that I've been on since I started.
Yeah, that's amazing. So in this episode, we will talk more about entrepreneurship. This year, I have been enjoying learning from other Latinx entrepreneurs, and I hope this conversation can inspire other folks that are also thinking about entrepreneurship and don't know how to start. And first things first, what does it mean to be a Latina for you, Carolina?
I love this question because for me, the term Latina has changed a lot throughout my life. And just thinking about how I used to be when I was younger, my mom used to call me La Americana or the American in the family because I stopped speaking Spanish at an early age. I felt like, you know, all the kids in school would speak English and it wasn't really something I wanted to do anymore, speak Spanish. I was like, no, we're in America, mom. Like, we got to speak English. It's horrible thinking about it now, but I'm really happy that I can still speak Spanish more or less. And yeah, when I was growing up, I thought being Latina meant, you know, looking perfect all the time with your hair done, your nails done, big hoop earrings, and being very feminine and bossy because that's how the women in my family were. Reconnecting with my culture through Tragos is the first time that I feel like I don't have to be any of those things. I particularly enjoy it now as a grown-up to have that kind of like Latina feminine power. But what I love the most about it is feeling like I can connect to multiple cultures and really connect with multiple people as well in different places. And so having that sense of community through my culture is amazing, and being able to just enjoy it and be able to identify with it despite any other person's definition of the word Latina.
I love that. And I love to hear your journey. And in the beginning, kind of having this idea of how a Latina should look like, because it's the references that we have, maybe not just in our family, but out there, like TV, movies, everything, and just reclaiming, no, I can be whatever I want to be. And that's really, really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course, on TV and movies, a huge thing. It's a stereotype that, you know, has its truths. But the more that you meet people and the more you grow, you're like, oh, okay, well, there's the nerdy Latina, there's the goth Latina, there's so many different kind of people, you know, not trying to like bucket up into different like labels, but you can be all of those things in one. But it doesn't really like make you any less Latina, even if you don't speak Spanish as well.
Yeah, so true. By the way, I was a gothic Latina when I was a teenager. Still a little bit sometimes.
I've connected more with Mexican culture lately. I've like visited Mexico and I have a lot more, I guess, Mexican friends because it's a large population that has gravitated towards Tragos, which is awesome. It's a really big audience in the US and they are really into like rock and roll and punk. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Like Colombian Dominicans, that's like my background. we were never really like exposed to that. So it's very fun to experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that, actually. I think in Brazil, it's quite similar. I think, not sure now, but when I was a teenager, it's kind of like a phase that you need to have, you know, especially in my city, we have a lot of like metal bands, like rock and punk. They are like famous, like Sepultura and a lot of different bands. So it was quite part of our lives and our teenager phase for sure.
That's so cool.
And how does everything start in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the journey started with the last full-time job that I had. And this was straight out of college. Like you said, I graduated majoring in graphic design and kind of looking for work in the digital space. So the first place I had worked at was a startup that I quickly grew through the ranks, I'd say, working really close with a small team and doing a lot of design and project management. And after 4 years, it became very overwhelming. And it was around the time that my aunt actually invited me to Colombia for the first time. And so I went to Colombia. I visited there and it was just amazing. And I love traveling, period, but it was the first time in South America and my mother's country. And I wanted to go back right away. That was like one thing I knew that I wanted to do. And then came an opportunity when I think it was just advertised to me, this program that allowed me to travel working remotely for 4 months. And I decided to go for it. I spoke with a recruiter and they said, you know, when do you want to start? Because in 2 months, you could be living in South America for 4 months. And I thought, whoa, I mean, that's very quick. I don't know. And they said, do it now or else you might not get the chance later on. So I convinced my company to let me go do this. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life because I was able to see my culture firsthand living there. I lived in Peru for 1 month, Colombia for 2 months, and Mexico for the last month.
That's amazing.
It was so much fun. Any way that you can do that in the future, some type of like traveling abroad for a bit of time, I so recommend it. And that's actually how I met my business partner who came up with the idea for Tragos. And the first game that we actually came up with, we had come back to the US after our travels. I decided I didn't want to work in my company anymore. So then I was doing freelancing. And he came up to me with the idea like, oh, well, what do you think about a cultural game? Because we had really connected through our cultures. I mean, he's actually Korean American. And I said, I love the idea. We have to do it. But then if we're doing it, we have to do it for Latinos. And so we both worked on the product together, the branding, the website. And when we released the Asian game, which is called Asian Flush, then we immediately went to work on the Hispanic game, which ended up being Tragos.
That's really cool. So in 2019, with zero investors and just $500, you launched the game Tragos. That's amazing. Can you share more with us? What's the game is about? And
yeah, so I mean, the game mechanics are very easy. You play with a bunch of friends and on your turn, you pick up a card and the card will tell you basically what to do. Those are the instructions. And so the cards contain all like Latino references that have something to do with mainly growing up Latino in the US, because I guess that's my experience, but it does extend internationally, we've noticed. So one example would be if you still have to greet everyone individually when you walk into the room, take 3 sips. It is a drinking game, so you could play with or without alcohol. It's usually something that the adults lean towards, but we have sometimes played with our family, just making sure that it's like with juice or like coffee or things like that. So it's very exciting. It's created for a party culture, because that's something that I felt I wanted to play myself when the concept came up. And the idea for the game is very simple. There's also different cards that like contain categories or group trivia. So there are references that relate to like Latino pop culture. There's things like related to Selena, Walter Mercado, Laura, Caso Cerrado. I'm not sure if you're familiar with all of these people. But yeah, it's just kind of like an homage to like how I grew up and like the part of culture that I felt close with all my life, despite that, you know, kind of separation, there was always like that, those people, those references, the TV music that I felt like I could connect with. And then of course, the crazy family that everybody has.
I love that. I definitely think about myself when I moved to the US 7 years ago and starting like going to parties, friends' house, and they were always playing something. And I felt that some games were quite boring, probably because I didn't grow up here. I wasn't used to some games. And it's interesting because just like hearing you saying, and of course I was like reading more about Tragos, it brought a lot of nostalgia as well, you know, and it was like really interesting to think more about that. I feel that especially during the pandemic, I imagine there's a lot of people, we're all at home a lot. We might be watching TV more, using our phones more. Actually, me and my partner, we were talking about it and we kind of decide not use our phone that much. And we were looking for games and other things we can do it together instead of looking at screens. So I think this is an amazing idea.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, well, the quarantine definitely had people thinking very similarly. We definitely had a spike in sales, which we did not think. We were like, oh gosh, that's it. It's the end of our business. And the complete opposite happened because, yeah, people, I guess, were bored of doing the same things at home or just like being stuck on their screens all the time. So that is also like a beautiful thing about physical games, which I see more now that I'm in the industry. But before, it was always just something that I liked. But it is an industry that is 100% growing year over year. So it's an exciting time to be in it, especially because there aren't a lot of cultural games out there.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And you said that you created Tragos for Latinos and Latinas, and also you wanted to question our traditions, serving as a reminder to the mainstream that Latinos shouldn't be a market afterthought. I absolutely love that, to bring this conversation. For example, for me, there's a lot of things that I didn't know before. For example, Selena, I didn't know about her. I heard about her via Netflix and I was totally obsessed, and having these conversations and playing with other folk, it's really exciting.
That is so interesting because, I mean, also being in this space now and speaking to more people, especially within Latin America, you start to realize like, okay, who can connect on who relates to this, who doesn't? And something that we've tried to really do with the game is try to make it appeal to all. And I'm sorry, but I do know that there is a type of disconnect with Brazilians. And we always talk about it too. We're like, oh God, when are we going to do the Brazilian Tragos? Definitely do, but I'm not familiar with the culture enough, but I know that for the most part, I think Brazilians consider themselves Latinos.
Yeah, I think now more, but I don't know. I think this is something common. I have been hearing a lot from like folks that I interview. They have this sense that they are Latinos or Latina after they moved to the US, because when they were in their home country, they were just like the country of orange. And now when they move here, we are kind of like grouped into the Latino like bucket, which is awesome. But sometimes they prefer to be more specific. And talking about Brazil, I think I grew up watching Thalia, you know, listening to Shakira and Walter Mercado. He was huge in Brazil. And like El Chavo, it was really part of our life. So I think we share a lot of similarities, although we don't speak Spanish, but we share a lot. And yeah, a lot of aspects of the Latin America, like especially the TV shows and the artists in general, it's pretty much part of our lives for sure.
I love hearing that because, like I said, I'm not familiar with it, but I love that there are similarities, and that I think there is definitely room for Tragos to explore more deeply within cultures too. And that's something that we also try to find a balance, because sometimes people are like, oh, well, when are you going to come out with our country pack? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, the point is to kind of unite everybody, because we don't want that type of segregation, especially now in the US with trying to, I guess, find our voice or be heard. It's better united than divided. So we're constantly thinking like, how do we position it as, okay, like a celebration of each individual country, as opposed to, no, we are Mexican, or no, we are Peruvian or Colombian. So it's something interesting that is always like a topic of conversation for a team.
Yeah, I love this strategy. And I think it's really nice that even when sometimes you don't know, for instance, if for me, I didn't know about Selena and I heard about her and I was obsessed obsessed. I watched like all the episodes on Netflix, and there's kind of like a documentary because I didn't know about her, what happened, and I was just like into it, and I was sad when I learned what happened. So I enjoyed learning more. So I think this experience is really nice as well, not knowing.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because a lot of our cards too have mixed cultures in them. So there are cards that definitely pertain more to like the Caribbean culture, other ones that are definitely more Mexican. And it's fun to kind of see people be like, what is that? I've never heard of that. And then they immediately turn to Google like, okay, oh, okay, that's what that is. And sometimes it's like, oh, well, we call it this, or, oh, I never heard of that, I just learned it. So it is a fun like educational experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Really nice. And I read that your startup has grown 224% since it launched in 2019. And also you donated more than $20,000 under a year for charities in need. So I'm wondering, what advice would you give to other folks that want to become an entrepreneur?
I've actually gone through quite a few phases. I'm calling myself an accidental entrepreneur. It's like a term that we're all using where you don't really try to be, ends up happening that way. So a lot of it has just been kind of learning as you go, a lot of mistakes made, lessons learned. And so I would say that for anyone that's aspiring to be it, the fact that you even want to be it is already like something that says a lot about your character. And this is probably going to change like every month. It's just a different mindset and like a lot of things that I'm learning. But I think to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to have two things, vision and the ability to delegate. I've had the vision from the beginning and I'm a terrible delegator. What I'm trying to work on now, and I think having the right team with you and understanding like, what is it that you want to accomplish at the end of the day or the quarter, the year, and long-term is also going to help feed your decision-making every single day, because it's a lot of decision-making and a lot of things that if you don't know it, you have to learn it immediately. So it's like a gift that I'm in this position. It's not easy to say the least, but it's also something that anyone that doesn't want to can't do it. I definitely go for it, especially if you have an idea that you're passionate about.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really like your first two main points. You need to have a vision and also be able to delegate. I can see how sometimes we are so passionate about things that we want to do everything ourselves. But in the end of the day, it's just like, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's just a ton of work. So you need to delegate as well. So I like that. It's something really important to keep in mind. And you mentioned that you are an accidental entrepreneur. Do you think this is because we don't see a lot of Latinx entrepreneurs, so we don't have a lot of references, or maybe it's the way we grow up. We don't even think about it. We don't even think this is a possibility. Do you think this is because of that?
Yes, I think for the most part, that is definitely something that I've noticed isn't really a thing until recently. I think just even our generation has just kind of felt like our parents as immigrants told us, you know, go out there and get a job that's stable and that's it, because I brought you to this country to have a decent life, and for you to be risking it and doing something like this is like unheard of almost. So now that we're kind of like shifting that story and showing and having more successful stories, I think the kids that are coming after us might see it as more of a possibility for sure. And I think we have to kind of break those stereotypes or those barriers of what the media says about us or what other people think or even what our parents think, because then we're just kind of putting ourselves in a box and not really being able to explore whatever it is that we might want to do, which wouldn't necessarily be the 9-to-5 that most people think of when they just think like career or their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is an important point, and I'm enjoying bringing this conversation to the podcast because it's so important to be talking more about it and having the sense that it is possible if you want to do it, it's a possibility. And it serves to myself as well. I think when I was asking you this question, I was thinking about myself as well, like having the sense that you can do it. You can even think about it and decide if you want to do it or not. But I can relate to the sense sense of having something stable, 9 to 5, and also be eternally grateful for the opportunity. I would say I feel that sometimes we also have this mindset to just like be grateful and not risk that much. So it's incredible that you're doing that and inspiring all of us as well.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I feel like every day I go crazy. And I'm like, why did I do this to myself? And then when I hear that, I'm like, okay, that's why.
That's awesome. What has changed in your life since you were on Forbes as part of the 30 under 30?
That is still has come as a surprise. I think it has been a little over half a year since I found out, and I still don't register it. You know, it's still something like when people mention it is when I remember, because it's just kind of like a shock factor to your life. You're like, that is really a big deal, and I should make it more of a big deal in my head. But I have a hard time kind of just really like relishing in it. I think because also at the time, or this year in particular, has been like full of so many challenges that in my head, sometimes I think, well, okay, that's great, but what are we actually going to do to get more jobs in here, or like keep our jobs, or, you know, expand on the brand and actually scale and do what the whole team wants to do? Because we definitely want to scale, but it's been a tough year, I guess. And so I keep thinking, or I feel more proud, honestly, of the things that, and I don't want this to come out as ungrateful either. I really value, I guess, things that I can find tangible and actually affect other people more so. So when I see people sharing their stories that they play their game, or that they had a great time at somebody's birthday or somebody's wedding, and it's like, oh, wow, like, I can't believe that I'm actually touching people halfway like across the country. And that to me just feels like super exciting than like my own merits, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes totally sense. And it's really nice of you, and totally you can touch people's lives in a different way with Tragos, for sure. But being at Forbes is just an amazing, amazing accomplishment. That's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look back in a year and be like, okay, that actually happened. Like, now I could just, you know, really accept it and put it everywhere.
Yeah, you should. You should. We can help. And which resource helped you in your journey? In the season, we have been enjoying asking folks what helped. And any resource that you want to share, it can be books, someone, quotes. I'd love to hear from you.
A specific one, I am trying to think, because there are so many people and like, yes, certain books that I've read. Well, I'd say absolutely the person that has helped me get here, and I always have to give credit because I don't know where I would be had I not met them, is John, my business partner. And he's kind of like my advisor, but also kind of helps out with Tragos when he can. So I think he's like the Tragos whisperer. Sometimes I'm like, oh, well, I'm thinking about this idea. And he'll either say like, yay or nay. And whenever we're both excited about an idea, whether he comes up with it or I come up with it, and it actually happens, is when we really thrive. And so that's something that I'm super grateful for. And then as far as like media, I kind of have to give credit, now that we were already talking about it, to the Selena series on Netflix. I did watch it. I didn't really want to, because I know it's a sad story. And I already knew what happened. I grew up with Selena. I remember watching the movie with J-Lo when I was like 4 or something. But the series was actually really interesting because, and this is spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't watched it, towards the end, Selena is seen kind of carrying a huge weight on her shoulders. She's trying to open up her boutique, her fashion show, her this or that, setting up her label. And she just looks so overwhelmed and tired, but still glamorous. And it just kind of made me feel a little better, because I'm like, wow, if she could have done it back then, where there's less technology and like less people saying like, yeah, a woman can do it, then she was doing all this stuff at such a young age. She was only like 23. Then I just feel like I have it super easy. Like, you just got to look up to women like that and be like, okay, well, stop crying. Like, you can absolutely 100% get this done. So I would leave it at that. Aside from that, I'm also like a big Tim Ferriss fan. I'm not sure familiar with him, but I think he's like a total life hacker. So I'm like constantly trying to break down like the way that I am and try to do everything myself and delegate or make things easier. So I really like his books and articles to kind of help streamline like my life, because I'm still getting there.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love what you said said about having good references. And I think this is one of the million reasons why diversity, it's so important. It's so important to see folks like us, that look like us, they speak like us, that have like a similar journey, succeeding. And then we can think and we can dream and we can do whatever we want to and kind of like get their strengths as well. So that's really, really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, even what you're doing is you're inspiring so many podcasts like hosts. I actually wanted to do it and I thought it was too hard to, I guess, have these conversations and open up another platform for Latinos because there aren't a lot of them. So yeah, I think we're all doing our part whenever we kind of put ourselves out there and try to make a change.
Absolutely. I heard a quote once. I never remember who said that actually, but they were basically saying that if you want to do something or whatever idea you have, if you feel like, for example, if you don't have the space, just create one, which is what you're doing with your game and a lot of other things you're doing, just create it and like open space. And this is more than enough, you know? And I think for my case, I think it's really interesting to think about other areas. For example, I have been thinking a lot of perfectionism, the sense that, oh, if you don't know how to do it like perfectly, it's not even worth it to start. And I think the podcast was something like that because I never did anything like that. I never like did podcasting before. I didn't know how to edit audio and just getting rid of that. Just do it because you're going to learn as you go and you can improve. And the content is what matters in the end. So I love to have those conversations as well. I think it's something that a lot of folks can relate. We just talked with Maho. I don't know if you know about her, but she wrote a book that's called The Good Girl Myth. She's from Argentina and she developed like a framework where you can find your good girl myth. And there's different myths. One of them being the perfectionism, which is something that I feel that we all can relate, especially women.
Yes, it's so annoying. I have to take a look at the book. I was going to point that out, that it is maybe that because women tend to be more perfectionist and less risk averse, that we don't kind of put ourselves out there more in the world. But I think, you know, well, what's riskier than, I don't know, having kids and like raising a human? That's pretty risky. So when you think about it that way, you're like, oh, well, what's a business? You know, like what's starting something new? It's not that life changing. And if you don't like it, then you can try something else. So we also have to be like less afraid of failure because it's okay to fail at any one thing that we want to do because there's always like the next opportunity and everything you learn from that first experience. So yeah, it is all just things that we are working on. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been thinking about that a lot. And I think one thing that helps me is to also understand how the society kind of works because we still live in a sexist society and this influences a lot the way women are socialized. And it's not like, oh, we can't take risk. We are raised in a way that we tend to avoid because it was the way we learned. And just having this awareness and trying to break this cycle, I think it helps. And I wanted to thank you for this conversation, for sharing more about your business. It's really interesting. I'm sure our listeners will enjoy taking a look. And I would love to talk more about it with you offline as well. And I wanted to also ask you where people can find you. Do you want to share your website and your social media channels as well?
Yes. Well, again, thank you. this has been really nice. A lot of important topics that we brought up. I appreciate this time today. You can find Tragos. So far, it's our only brand. We might expand into other ones, but we'll see. Tragos can be found at dragosgame.com. That's our website. And you can also find us on Amazon. We also just got on to walmart.com. So there is a possibility that we may be looking at retail stores soon. And you can find us on any or almost any social media channel at Dragos Game. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, etc.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, feel free to share your thoughts with us. And by the way, share with me if you have trouble pronouncing entrepreneur like me. I might be not the only one, I hope so. And I also wanted to invite you to take a look in our website. We have an online store now with many different products, and I think you're going to like it. And see you soon.